Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Well, if you want tedious Warriors coverage, just stick around, because I'm talking about 4:30. We get into Warriors Live tonight. Today, Bob Myers stopped on by the morning roast, and he was talking about a guy that we'll be talking quite a bit about in Warriors Live. Who would have ever thought, ahead of a closeout NBA Finals game, one of the bells of the ball would be Kevon Looney?
Like what's happening with Wiggins and Poole and you know, some of the younger guys too, you don't get respect, you have to earn it. And Looney has earned that, you know, a long time ago he earned it. He's played big in some playoff games. Everybody remembers what he did in some of those Houston series. And so the best thing you can earn is the respect of your teammates and your peers. And Looney's done that. And now he's finally getting some of the accolades from the fan base, some of the media. He's putting up some gaudy numbers. And he's just playing the best basketball of his career.
That is not an exaggeration. You'll hear a lot of coaches tack that onto a guy who is not, as a matter of fact, playing the best basketball of his career. The four last games played by Kevon Looney are the four best games of his career. They really are. By the way, Ray, I can see you're looking through NBA final schedules. What are the days off in between? I think there's three between one and two.
I think it's two between all of them. 2, 5, 8, 10, 13, 16, 19. So they've basically taken what is a different schedule for them and just stretched out the finals. But before the COVID, they were every other day with one built-in extra day in the middle of the series. So this is new, and Lucas was right, and I was wrong, and I should resign.
Incredible shame. Should be dripping all over, not just you, but everyone on your family tree.
My family tree already understands shame.
The Golden State Warriors, no shame in wanting to close this bad boy out tonight, not burn any extra fuel trying to take out the Dallas Mavericks. Here it is. Speaking of Kevon Looney, the impact he has on the team, again, who wanted to talk about that more than Steve Kerr this week?
I mean, you guys know I've always been Kevon's biggest fan, and he's just been so rock solid for us over the years. And I think the hard part for people out there is, you know, they see the games on TV and that's it. But, you know, being a great team has a lot to do with what happens in the locker room, how guys interact with one another, the leadership, the internal leadership that you need. And, you know, Loon has been such a big part of that. The last couple of years, especially as we've transitioned into this era where we're trying to bring along these young guys. And so Loon is a big part of our foundation.
And again, he's been really good for business. He has been around long enough where he has been in these situations before. He talked about just in this year, there's plenty of evidence how hard it is to get out of a series. Look at Denver, look at Memphis.
From our previous two series, we learned that, you know, closeout games are very hard. You think teams are going to, like, just lay down. They're not. They're going to go out there and get their best fight. You know, their season's on the line. The crowd's going to be crazy. So it's tough to win on the road. So we learned from our previous two series that it takes a heightened focus. You know, can't just go into the game like you did last game. It's going to be even more difficult. And, you know, hopefully we learn from our last two series. We weren't able to close it out on the road. Hopefully we can make that next step.
Hopefully they make it tonight. A good step towards closing out the Dallas Mavericks. We'll be not letting off of them in terms of that rebounding category. The Warriors have a wild advantage so far in the glass and how they've crashed it. And if they keep it there tonight, man, you know, they should go through.
That's just something that I think we've been pretty good at all year. I don't know if we get enough credit for the job we've been doing on that side of the ball. Missing Otto is going to be huge with that. He's been one of our best rebounders, but that's something that we take pride in. That's something that kind of our weakness in previous years, and I feel like we made a big step of getting extra possessions, those extra plays to get our shooters extra shots. And we got guys like Steph and Clay and JP that when they get extra shots, they're not really going to miss that often. So I think me, Wiggs, Draymond, we take pride in getting those offensive rebounds and causing havoc down there. And that's been something that we've been great in all playoffs, and we got to continue to do it.
Look, the best friend of a decent rebounding team is the gang that couldn't shoot straight. And right now, that's what the Dallas Mavericks are. You got Reggie Bullock and Maxi Kleber combining to miss all 15 of their combined shots in Game 3. Kleber, Bertrands, Dorian Finney-Smith were just awful all around. And every time I think Dallas isn't going to do worse than that, they do worse than that. Again, they had a 29%, 13 of 45 shooting night in Game 3. They were 23% back in Game 1. And in the one game where they shot very well, knocking down 21 threes, they took too many. They had 45 threes. They hit 47% of those 45 threes. How do the Warriors counter that? Well, they beat you up inside. They grab rebounds, and they're more efficient. Warriors were 14 of 28 from downtown in Game 2. That's 50%, and I'm no math major.
No, you're not. I thought you were going to play sound.
No, that's great. That's great, Phil. That's great, Phil.
No, I thought you were going to go to something.
I'll go to something for you. You asked for it.
I'm beginning to hate you. The biggest thing, and nobody's talking about it, is that the Warriors have the best percentage inside the arc, shooting 58%. And it's been really noticeable in this series.
Especially when the other team almost refuses to shoot from inside the arc.
Well, it's not that they refuse to shoot inside the arc. It's that they refuse to defend inside the arc. They're a very good defensive team. They were the best defensive team in the league for most of the year. And yet, tell me all the times the Warriors have had the difficulty trying to get a decent shot at the end of a possession. It's almost never. And that's the biggest takeaway. Dallas's chance to win this series was to make it difficult for the Warriors to run their offense. And the Warriors tweaked their offense, and Dallas hasn't sort of tweaked their defense back to respond. It's the biggest reason of all of them why Dallas is down 3-love. Because the thing they do better than anybody else, they haven't done very well in this series, because they haven't adjusted to the thing that the Warriors done to them.
Well, and there's so little talent around Luka Doncic when you really look at where starting points are in careers. It's Luka Doncic and a bunch of second rounders. It's essentially what the Dallas Mavericks are. Now, we're not playing the woe is Luka. No, we're not doing that. He is an extraordinary talent. If you haven't seen that, if you haven't come to terms with that, you just don't know an awful lot about basketball. The guy is extraordinary. He is a little ball hoggy at this point in time of his career. He has got no recourse to be anything other than that. So his usage percentage is going to be through the roof. Well, he's not a very good passer. Did you know that he actually leads the league in terms of setting up teammates with decent passes? He has for the last 2 years in the NBA. Quality passes. It's an actual stat. Luka leads the league in that. When those quality passes are converted, again, that's how Dallas is in the Western Conference Finals. When they're not converted, that's how Dallas exits the Western Conference Finals. And look, they have had, what you basically have is Curry. How about this, Ray? Curry's played 76 minutes so far in this series. Wiggins has played 79 minutes. And Draymond Green has played a total combined 66 minutes so far in this series. All three of them are basically out there for every minute Luka Doncic is out there. Doncic, during his 26 minutes of rest in this series. So in the 26 minutes that Doncic has not been on the floor, well, Curry's only had to play 6 minutes of that. And Wiggins, only 2 minutes of that. And Draymond Green, only 7 minutes of that. So you basically have Luka Doncic going 3-on-1 against two future Hall of Famers and a former number one overall pick. We're not even factoring Klay Thompson into that formula, by the way. That is just, that's Curry, that's Wiggins, and Draymond. Meanwhile, surrounding Luka Doncic, you have Jalen Brunson, who was a second-round pick. Davis Bertans is a second-round pick. Spencer Dinwiddie, guy's a second-round pick. Dorian Finney-Smith, undrafted. Maxi Kleber, undrafted. Reggie Bullock, excuse me, Bullock, although we're going to downgrade that if he doesn't start hitting some threes. Reggie Bullock, 25th pick of the first round. So hardly a premium pick. You know, to look at who the Dallas Mavericks are and just how that team's been built to this point, for anyone to have said, yeah, I really think they're going to beat the Golden State Warriors in this round, is kind of nuts, considering who the Warriors are.
No, but it's not where they were. They weren't going to win based on offensive firepower. They were going to win by defending. And it doesn't matter where you're picked, because you can defend no matter where you're picked. The real problem goes back to the fact that the Warriors in this series have shot 61% from inside the arc. Dallas is supposed to be able to take a lot of that away. They've taken none of it away. In fact, they've made the Warriors even better inside the arc. And if you're trying to win with defense, that's not it. You know, looking at Luka Doncic offensively and saying that's why they're not winning is missing the point. But he is part of the problem defensively, because he still has a lot of improving to do there. And he is 23, and I'm not trying to bury him, but this is a team that built its reputation on being able to keep the other team from scoring. And they haven't done that in this series. And it's not because the Warriors are shooting the lights out from beyond the arc. It's because they're driving, kicking, settling for a 15-footer that's wide open, and making them three out of every five times they try.
Xfinity Mobile text line says, hey, what about Draymond, Damon? You know, he was a second-round pick. Well, he is among the greatest outliers in the history of the second round. You don't find a lot of future Hall of Famers in the second round. And it looks like that's where Draymond Green probably hangs his hat one day. Jordan Poole, let's be completely honest. That could have gone either way, and the way that it's gone has been a blessing for the Golden State Warriors. They wouldn't tell you that they're genius and knew it all along. They're thrilled, thrilled to see Jordan Poole come along like he has. Kevon Looney, look, I mean, Looney is a guy who is paid off in what he does do, what he doesn't ask for, but he's no superstar. Not even close. He's just a really good fit on a team that, if they weren't built the way the Warriors are, probably wouldn't be a good fit on a lot of teams. But he's the perfect fit for the Golden State Warriors, and he's playing the best four games of his career in the last four games of his career. So there is a little recency bias in terms of the praise we heap on Looney.
He's a hardworking, low-maintenance guy, and by low-maintenance, I mean you don't have to prod him to work hard. You don't have to prod him to do the little stuff. You don't have to prod him to be dogged on the boards or to, you know, stiffen up against, you know, bigger players, because he does that all the time. That's why he's as popular in the room as he is. I don't know, you know, what kind of personality he's got. That's, you know, beyond our knowledge. But as a player, he does all the little stuff that other guys don't have to do. He does it without waiting to be praised for it. He knows that's the gig, and his teammates appreciate him for that. And so when he gets a chance, as he has in this series, to operate without having a big guy leaning up against him or getting knocked around underneath the basket, and he gets to put up actual numbers, you know, all of a sudden the rest of the world notices him. While the fact is, the Warriors have been screaming about how valuable he is for 3 years, and this is his first chance to show it on a box score.
On a real big stage and on a box score. Yeah, you're right about that. But I think a real key in the Kevon Looney success, and I'm not trying to take a thing away from him, but a huge key in how good Kevon Looney has been is that the Dallas Mavericks couldn't box out a UPS truck.
Well, they're all standing at the three-point line, jacking up a 30-footer. That's why they can't box out. I mean, that's the structure of their offense requires that if they're going to score a lot of points, they have to make 50% of those. And nobody does that on a night-to-night basis. And they've run into a team that is actually good at preventing them from getting good looks from three, to the point where to get a clean look from three, they have to shoot from 27 feet out. I mean, they're, you know, they don't have a second gear offensively. That's the problem. It's not so much that they have a bunch of second rounders, because they got to where they were doing this. But now they've run into a team that defends very well night in and night out. And that's when you get to this stage, you have to have a second gear. They don't have an offensive second gear yet. For them to win this series, they had to defend the Warriors brilliantly.
Well,
and they haven't done that.
And in Dallas, they also absolutely needed somebody to go out there and be a game-in, game-out running buddy with Luka Doncic. Meanwhile, not only do the Warriors have a second option, they got a third, they got a fourth, pretty much, in Jordan Poole and Andrew Wiggins, who has certainly turned himself into a guy who is changing an awful lot of hearts and minds about who he is in the NBA. General Manager Bob Myers.
You know, when a new guy comes on the team and they're looking around, Wiggins had played in one playoff series in his life, five games. It's not a big sample size. So I'm sure Wiggins, you know, you get there, you see the banners, you see guys that have won it, and you go, you know, I got to find my way with this team. And it's taken a little bit of time, but now he's here. And no doubt, he belongs.
He fits like a glove. He fits like a glove. He has answered the bell. And now the question is, since you've shown us what you can do, can you show it to us again? This is the burden of setting expectations, Ray. I think this is what kind of haunts Debo Samuel going forward a little bit in his mind. He's saying, oh, no, I showed everybody that I can run with the ball, maybe even better than I can play, you know, wide receiver. I'm really, really good. They're never going to ask me to do less of what I'm really good at. We're watching Andrew Wiggins pull down 6 offensive rebounds, 11 rebounds, go along with 27 points, rebounding like a fiend. Rebounding with energy, greeting a game with a little gusto, and they're going to ask him to do it again. And then again, certainly in the NBA Finals. And if Andrew Wiggins can keep on playing like this, boys and girls, the parade's going to go up Market Street, not down. We're not going to go from City Hall to the Ferry Building. We're going to go from the Ferry Building to City Hall.
They should do it the other way around.
And then everyone can just hop in the bay, cool off.
No. They all get on ferries and go to Oakland to finish the parade there.
That'd be cool to do.
Get Raymond Ritter on the phone. I don't have marketing ideas a lot, but this is one of them. And it's not like
Can we just do it all on Treasure Island? Meet halfway? No?
It's sort of like
Bridge would be a nightmare.
Yeah. It's sort of like putting the World Cup in Switzerland. It's kind of lost there.
Too neutral? Are you looking for a little bit more venom to your World Cup?
Well, I'd like it in a place where the temperature isn't 120 in the afternoon and then it dips at night to 119. You know, that would be a nice place to do that.
Steph Curry talked about how even though they got all the experience in the world, they continue to learn.
We knew like we had a lot to figure out in terms of even just rotations and late game chemistry, stuff that we had shown good signs of during the season, but you know, with injuries and the revolving door of lineups and who was available, you really didn't know what it was going to look like. And we talked about just trying to peak at the right time, continue to get better. Everybody says that when you're going into a playoff run, but we really had to prove that. And to get to this point where we are, that is the identity of this team, that we've slowly figured it out and gotten better as each game, each series is gone. And we have more opportunity to keep proving that.
The Xfinity Mobile text line says, you know, Luka was terrible on defense against Phoenix in the first two games, but then he tried. The effort was at least put out there. They win. Luka's not even trying defensively. Look, I do agree with that. He is easy to blow by. He needs to work on that this offseason more than anything else. His defensive principles and how he plays and how he positions himself and how he meets other people with the footwork he's putting out there when they're driving or looking to post up against him. He's got a lot of work to do. There's just no denying it. But I think the Dallas Mavericks are just resigned in where they are in this series now. and a player. Here's the thing: you don't have to explain to a player how outmanned they are. And I think it really settled into Dallas as they were watching a 19-point lead that they had earned in game two evaporate quickly. And I think it was in that moment Dallas got smacked in the face with reality. And then in game three, they did nothing to alter that reality. They sort of acquiesced to it, I thought. They rolled over, they died quickly, and then that postgame press conference, they said all the things that make you think about summer vacation. More than, yeah, they're going to ball their fist and seriously throw their best haymaker in game four. Now, if they have pride, I hope they do that tonight. It'll certainly make the game more compelling, more dramatic. But I would not be surprised to see Dallas kind of, you know, give a real good fight through three quarters and then just understand in the fourth quarter, they got too much for us. We can't do this.
Well, I mean, that in part, that's going to depend on two things. Whether or not they figure out how to defend the Warriors much better than they have. Because part of Doncic's problem as a defender is that he has come to rely on those other guys bailing him out. And more often than not, they have. In this series, they have not. So his errors, combined with the errors of the other four guys on the floor, just tend to stand out more. I mean, 60% from inside the arc, that's embarrassing.
It's a big number.
You know, it. I mean, it's just for a team as good as Dallas is, when the other team has the ball, to give that up. I mean, that's the stat that condemns them more than anything else. It's not their shooting from three. That's what they did all year. They're just not making them. It's the fact that the one thing they have control over more than anything else, which is defense, they've abandoned it or it's abandoned them. But this is, you know, I mean, they're lucky they've only lost two games by 9 points, because the way these games have flowed and the way they collapsed in game two, you know, that was a 25-point loss if you want to just take it from the moment that the Warriors started to get their legs under them. I mean, Dallas may have shot its bolt. They may steal a game tonight. They may even steal game five. But there is no point at which you, unless you are Mark Cuban, can believe this is not over.
I mean, he went to Indiana. He knows enough about hoops to know it's over.
Nah. He's a true believer.
You get taught things in Bloomington. You just, you know.
I don't want to say the things you get taught.
Meanwhile, Luke is learning lessons that no superstar wants to learn. He's joining a list that no superstar wants to be on. Luka Doncic has scored 40-plus points in a game the Dallas Mavericks have lost for the third time this postseason. Will he be north of 40 again tonight? We will tune in. We will find out. That ties him for the most such games in a single postseason. Luka Doncic this year, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in 1977, LeBron James in 2009, and Jerry West all the way back in 1965. It is not a list anyone wants to find themselves on, and that's where Luka is. I think they're going to be a very, very good team going forward. There are corrections to be made to that roster. There is someone that you can legitimately build around, you would think. But for tonight, the Warriors have one mission, and that's to end this bad boy. The next game at Chase Center, if they're lucky, is game one of the NBA Finals. And oh, by the way, home court throughout has been really, really nice to the Golden State Warriors. We'll get into that and many other things, including a look back at the conversation we had yesterday with Warriors head coach Steve Kerr. We are going to have our friend John Dickinson join us in about 20 minutes from right now, live from Dallas. So stick around. Warriors Live is about to begin. But that's it for Damon and Ratto, brought to you by BMW Fairfield, now open in the Fairfield Auto Mall. They provide a luxurious, all-encompassing experience to address all your BMW needs. Visit BMWFairfield.com today to book your visit. BMWFairfield.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!